Hello and welcome to Mornings with Jesus, your daily dose of encouragement. I am your host, Joshua Scott Seitz. All right, we're back at it in Mornings with Jesus, Seek and You Shall Find. This is book number 2 in the Mornings with Jesus series. We are on day 38. God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Psalm 34 in verse 8. Getting to know the Lord is one of the most awesome things. The good news is this. We can get as close to God as we want. He designed it that way. He is not some uncaring, unfeeling tyrant in the sky. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human, in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need." An appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment. That's the Amplified Version. Learning to trust in God will elevate our walk with Him in a magnificent way. Knowing that He cares for us, that He wants the best for us, that He desires to see us grow, prosper, and thrive. This will cause us to want to serve Him and to want to tell others about Him. Suddenly, life becomes a get-to and not a have-to. Listen, the Bible is our number one way to get to know Him more. The more we not only read it, but adhere to it, obey it, cherish it, desire it, the more we will see Jesus portrayed throughout it, and we will find that God has been there all along, calling people to Himself, calling us to Himself. He is a good, good God. I cannot stress this enough, because until we realize He is for us and not against us, we are going to have a difficult time fully trusting Him and fully surrendering to Him. Today, I want to encourage you to think about all the things He has done for you, in you, and through you. Write them down. On our journey to know Him more, it's imperative that we learn to trust Him, to trust His Word, and realize that He is good. And He is good all the time. Okay, this is a very powerful reminder today that God is good. And it is so imperative that we realize, first and foremost, that God is for us. He is not against us. Listen, I don't know what you may be dealing with today, but know this for sure. Jesus said He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is the fourth man in the fire. He is who He says He is. He will do what He says He will do. And the Bible says that He never changes. In other words, He is good, and He is good all the time. And we can take refuge in that. Listen, as we walk this thing out called Christianity with the Lord, it is a relationship. It's a two-way street. One of the most magnificent things about God is that He does not require us to just blindly follow Him, right? He doesn't just sit up in heaven and give us a list of rules to follow and say, "Well, I hope you make it to me." No, instead, He chose to come down from His throne to get in our mess, to live life as we live it. And yet without sin, He went to the cross, paid the ultimate sacrifice by laying down His life for you and I. Why did He do that? The Bible says it was for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. And what was that joy? Or rather, should I say, who was that joy? That joy was you and me. It was a chance at relationship with you and I. And here's some more good news, is that once He did that, He could have just gone right to heaven and been like, "Look, my work is done. I said it is finished. I meant it. I'm gone." But no, instead He sent the Holy Spirit. He did a tag team handoff with the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit comes to reside in each one of His believers, in each one of those born again Jesus followers, the Holy Spirit comes and he comforts us and he leads us and he guides us. God is a good, good God. And as we go on this life and as we walk through this life, we must learn to trust him. And when we first start to trust him, it's going to take some time, right? God does not expect us to just blindly follow him. That's why he gave us his word. That's why he came to show us the way, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just a list of rules to follow. Way more than that. He is a person. The Bible says this is life eternal, to know him. Right. And so this Christianity thing that we call Christianity, it's really a lifetime of getting to know Jesus, of getting to know who he is, of getting to know his character, and then surrendering our life to him. And the more we surrender to him, the more like we become like him. Right. And then the more able we are to share him with others. And so please be encouraged with that today. We're going to jump right into our challenge corner questions. What is your view of God? We have touched on this already in previous questions, but it's vital that you have a clear grasp of your view. You see, how we view God will ultimately be how we view life and how we view people and relationships as well. If our view of God is skewed, if we think he is some mean man upstairs, or that he is causing and giving his stamp of approval to the atrocities around the world, we are going to have a difficult time sharing him with others. Okay, this is that moment where we have to take some self-reflective time. What is your view of God? And we have talked about this before. Many of us who have had maybe earthly fathers or authority people in our lives or mothers or what have you, that maybe have not shown us the most love, right, at all. And some of us to the point of traumatic experiences even, when we have a skewed view of God and when we begin to see God as other people have treated us, it's definitely a lot more difficult to trust him, right? And so that, again, I want to remind all of us that that's why he gave us his word. The Bible is not just, it's not just a book full of fanciful stories. It's not just even a book of lessons to be learned. It's not just a book of rules. It's way more than that. It's the love letter of God to us. It's Jesus, right? In every book of the Bible, Jesus can be seen. And as we read it and as we chew on the word and as we delve into the word and we seek the word, we begin to learn the character of God. Right. And we begin to see who he truly is in time and time again, how he's come to people and minister to them one on one, even. And even as many times as people turned away, when they turned back, he would come to them. And so as we walk this thing out, this Christian journey, we begin to see the character of God. And when we can begin to truly see who he is and how much he really loves us, then we can begin to love him. And then we can begin to love others, right? Because the Bible says we love because he first loved us. And so really take some time, take a moment and really be self-reflective. How do you view God? Do you see him as a good, good God? Do you feel like you have a relationship with him today? What is your view of God? Let's go to the next question. It says, why is it so important to spend time in the Word of God? Now, for me personally, you know, and to maybe team this up with the previous part, you know, I was adopted at an early age, and so I certainly didn't know what it meant to have a good earthly father. I didn't know what it meant to have a good earthly family, right? And then even as I was adopted and I grew and I became a teenager, I began to delve into drugs and various other things. And so I definitely, my mind, needless to say, was definitely not on the Word of God. It was not on God. And I had a very skewed view of God. But I will tell you this. I always have feared hell. I've always feared, you know, anytime like maybe like we have a really bad storm or something, I'd be like, oh God, save me. I don't want to go to hell. Right. And so I had this like fear of God that, you know, that he definitely could, you know, cast me away into this dark outer darkness in this pit of hell. But I didn't really know him. I didn't know his character. And so if we team this up with this right here, why is it so important to spend time in the Word of God? Listen, the Bible says that all scripture is given, and it's by inspiration of God, and it's good, and it's profitable for rebuke and for correction and instruction in righteousness. And so all those things. So basically, when we feast on the Word of God, it teaches us how to live life, right? But more than that even, it teaches us the character of God, because the Word of God, as we've been learning, Jesus is the Word of God, and the Word of God is the very DNA of God. It's God breathed, right? And so however he did it, he was able to put part of himself in the Word, right? So it's not the pages itself, it's the message, it's the overall overarching theme. It's everything put together through thousands of years, through different authors, but really had one author, and that was the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, which he is God. Holy Spirit is God. And so he caused these authors to pen this. And the reason he did that was to show himself to us. And so as we read the Word and as we delve into the Word, we begin to see God at a fuller picture. We begin to see the character and nature of God. And that's why it's so important to spend time with the Word, because when we spend time with the Word, we spend time with God. And as we spend time with God, we get to know who God truly is. And then we don't see God based upon our experiences. We don't see God based upon what we've heard about him, right? There was a man in the Bible in John chapter 3 named Nicodemus, and he came to Jesus by night, and he said, Jesus, Master, you know, we've heard about you because of all the things you've done. And I love what Jesus did. Jesus stopped Nicodemus right in his tracks. He said, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, Nicodemus, you've been hearing about me, but until you fully trust me, until you fully surrender to me, until you get born again, until I give you a new heart, until you turn away from doing it your way and turn to me, and I come in and I give you a new heart and I give you the gift of salvation, you're never going to fully see or understand who I truly am, right? And that's my encouragement to you and to I today. Until we fully surrender to God, until we fully begin to realize who he is, our view of God is always going to be skewed. And that's why it's so important to spend time with him, spend time in his Word. All right, here we go. What does the Word of God mean to you? What does it mean to you? Do you have the heart's cry of Job, that, you know, where he said, you know, I desire your Word more than necessary food? Oh, wow. What our lives would look like if we all did that. I wish that my life looked like that. I desire your Word more than necessary food. The psalmist said, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Think about that. What does the Word of God mean to you? Do you cherish it? Do you crave it? Do you long to spend time with it? Or is it just something that you do just to say, hey, I read my Bible today, and check it off your list? I want to encourage you, if you are anywhere close to that, begin to pray, God, help me. Open my eyes. Help me to have a desire for your Word, right? And listen, here's the thing. God wrote the Bible. So if you want to help understanding the Bible, who better to go to than God, right? If our car breaks down, we don't take it to the baker, right? We take it to the car mechanic. And so it is with the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is God himself breathed onto its pages. And so it's a perfect team, right? As we get to know the Word of God, we get to know God. As we get to know God, we get to know the Word of God. And so what a beautiful relationship that is. Here we go. Do you see the Word of God as the final authority? And this is very good. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know, how many times have many of us, we've been at those crossroads, right? And here's the thing, even if you've been at a crossroads and you've needed help, it's never a one and done thing, right? Jesus has promised to never leave us, never forsake us. So it's not a one and done. He's going to be with us always. And so as we learn to trust in him more, he will direct and order our steps. But we have to learn how to allow him to do that, right? We can't just use the Bible as something as an addition, right? The Bible is not like our supplement. The Bible is not our vitamin we just take. We don't just kind of walk through life blindly, do our own thing, and then kind of tack the Bible on the end. Although that is definitely a temptation to do. Don't get me wrong. You know, when we're, think about the nation of America, you know, it's like when 9/11 happened, as horrific as that event was, that's what drove us to prayer, right? That's what drove us to church. It shouldn't be like that. We should be in church already. We should be in the Word of God already. Then when things happen, if things happen, we're already grounded and rooted, right? And so what would our life look like if we were already grounded and rooted in the Word of God? And again, this is one of those self-reflective moments. Just take some time. You know, do you see the Word of God as the final authority in your life? Does the Bible have precedence in your life? Does the Bible take priority in your life? And here's a good thing to do. I've heard this before. Bible before breakfast. You know, get up in the morning, spend 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer, 5 minutes in worship. If you'll just do this one simple thing every day, that's 15 minutes before you start your day. Not that there's a formula or anything like that to follow, but this will help put you on the right path. If you'll just do that 5-5-5 and just purpose in your heart and in your mind that, look, before I start my day, I'm going to spend my day with the Lord. You'll be surprised that over time, you'll begin to see things different. And then over time, maybe it's now I'm 6 minutes in the Word, 7 minutes in the Word, 8 minutes in the Word. Now all of a sudden I'm across this passage and before I know it, I've spent 30 minutes, you know, researching this passage, right? And that's kind of just how it is. Why? Because we're beginning to, the more we get to know God, the more we'll be drawn to him. And the more we'll get to see that, you know, there's so many facets of God, and what a remarkable thing it is to be able to have his Word and to explore his Word and really get to know him more. Okay, here we go. Do you hold the Word of God in high esteem, or do you see it as simply another book to bring a semblance of comfort and peace? And again, this kind of goes right along with the one before. You know, is the Word of God something that you just kind of tack on to your day? Or is the Word of God everything to you? And again, I want to encourage you, you know, the more words you have on the inside, the better able you are to not only know about God, but also be able to throw whatever life throws at you, right? You know, there's a thing that, you know, a pastor said. He said, you know, put the Word of God in you when you don't need it so that it comes out when you do. And obviously, we always need the Word of God, right? But the imperative, the principle here is don't use the Bible as a last resort. Learn to run to the Bible even when maybe it seems like everything's all good, right? Because the Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Listen, the storms of life hit all of us. And when we're in the midst of the storm is not the time to be like, oh, what was that passage? What was that, you know, what was that thing? What would our life look like if we sought God throughout our day, if we sought God on a consistent basis? Then when the storms of life come, we're already prepared, right? What would life look like for you? I want to end today with this verse in James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And what an awesome reminder, God never changes. He is for you. He is not against you. He wants to have a personal, intimate relationship with you. My challenge to you is, and my question, will you let him? Will you let him? Remember, until next time, what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you.